Good evening. Let's open tonight's service with hymn number 22 from your Spiral Gospel Hymns hymn book, and let's all stand together. Number 22, For the Glory of His Grace.
We were ruined by the fall. Adam's sin defiles us all. By our deeds as by our birth, we deserve the law's great curse. Helpless, hopeless sinners we, never can our souls retrieve. But the blessed Son of God came as man in flesh and blood. He fulfilled the law's demands, and in death stretched out his hands. On the cross of Calvary, Christ redeemed and set us free. In the time which God had set, the Spirit came for His elect to regenerate and call from the ruin of the fall. By His power and by His grace, we were born for God's own praise. Now your purpose we fulfill, saved according to your will. Sing this song of joyful praise for the glory of your grace. Blessed, holy, triune God, hear our praise through Christ our Lord.
Please be seated.
That was an appropriate hymn for the passage that I chose for our call to worship in Romans chapter 3. Will you open your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 3, Romans 3. We'll begin reading in verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jew and Gentile that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Incapable of doing anything that God would consider to be good or righteous. Their throat is an open sepulcher. An open sepulcher is a tomb that's filled with a corpse. And when the Lord looks down our throats, that's all He sees, is spiritual deadness. With their tongue they have used deceit, and with the poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Men who reject what God has said here about his sinfulness has deceived himself in thinking that he has somehow satisfied, at least in part, the demands of God's law. And the Lord says the law properly understood shuts a man's mouth and makes him guilty before God. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you would send your Holy Spirit in power. We confess to you, Lord, that we are guilty, that we have no righteousness, that we've never done anything good. We've not been able to satisfy not one jot or tittle of thy holy law. But oh, what hope, what joy, what comfort, what peace we have in knowing that that's exactly the reason that thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, came into this world to fulfill the law and to present himself on our behalf for all our righteousness. We pray that you would enable us to look to him, to rest in him, to believe him, to trust him for our life, our righteousness, and all our acceptance before thee. Open what no man can shut, Lord. Open your word. Open our hearts. Give us faith. Forgive us for Christ's sake. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand together again. We'll sing hymn number 355 from your hardback hymnal. 355.
From every stormy wind that blows, from every swelling tide of woes, there is a calm, a sure retreat. 'Tis found beneath the mercy seat. There is a place where Jesus sheds the oil of gladness on our heads, a place and all besides more sweet. It is the blood-bought mercy seat. There is a scene where spirits blend, where friend holds fellowship with friend, though sundered far by faith they meet, around one common mercy seat. Ah, whither could we flee for aid when tempted, desolate, dismayed, or how the hosts of hell defeat had suffering saints no mercy seat. Ah, there on eagle wings we soar, and sin and sense molest no more, and heaven comes down our souls to greet, while glory crowns the mercy seat.
Please be seated.
Will you open your Bibles with me to Isaiah chapter 53? Isaiah 53. I've titled this message, Why Won't Men Believe? Why won't men believe? Now, this matter of unbelief, it's the cause of every sin. It's the problem that you and I have. You know, if I stood before you tonight and got in the pulpit here and I said to you, I have a confession to make. I've done something horrible. I've committed the worst sin that a man could commit. Your imaginations would go wild. Your hearts would begin to beat, thinking, oh no, what has he done? And then I said to you, I've got a problem with unbelief. You know what you would do? Is that all? Okay. You see, our attitude about unbelief only testifies to how wicked it really is. It really does. The Lord said when the Holy Spirit comes, He will convict the world of sin because they believe not on Me. The worst thing that you and I can do, the absolute worst thing that we can do, is to not believe God. That's it. It's the most offensive. It's the most degrading. It's the most God dishonoring thing that we can do is not believe God. And what do we say? Oh, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. I've got an old man that's never been able to believe anything. Lord, he's with me all the time. Give me faith in the new man to set my hopes on Christ and to believe everything that you've ever said. The Lord's told us in this passage of Scripture why it is that men will not believe. Why they don't believe. And I've got 3 points. Number one, they are unable. Number two, they are unwilling. And number three, they hate Christ. And that's what the Lord says. What is the cause of unbelief? And the first cause is they're unable. Look what the prophet says when he begins this chapter. Who hath believed our report? Lord, why won't men believe? Why won't they believe the gospel? Why won't they believe you? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? That's why they won't believe. They won't believe because they can't believe. Faith is a gift of God. It can only come as a result of divine revelation, divine intervention. If the Lord leaves us to ourselves, it will be absolutely impossible for us to be able to believe God. Faith is not our contribution to the gospel. Faith is the gift that God gives to believers when He saves them and reveals the arm of the Lord. That's Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ said, no man can come unto me, John chapter 6, verse 46, unless the Father, which sent me, drag him. That's what the word is draw in the Bible, but it's the, you remember over there in James when the Lord is rebuking the church because they were favoring a rich man and letting him sit up front and putting the poor people in the back. And the Lord said, you have evil intents in your hearts. Are not the rich ones the ones who drag you into court and take advantage of you? And the same word. So the Lord said, you can't come to me except the Father which sent me draw you. And then in that same chapter, verse 65, no man can come unto me except it were given to him of my Father. What did the Lord say to that woman at the well in John chapter 4? If you knew who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, you would ask of him and he'd give you living water. But what the problem was, she didn't know. She didn't know, just like Nicodemus in John chapter 3. We know that you've been sent of God, for no man can do the things that you do except God be with him. Nicodemus thought he was discerning, didn't he? He thought, I've got some insight. I've got some understanding. I know that you're a prophet, son of God. He did not have any idea that he was talking to God. And so what did the Lord say to him? Nicodemus, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot perceive of it. He can't understand it. He can't. Who hath believed our report? To whom the arm of the Lord has been revealed? If the arm of the Lord has not been revealed, you can't believe and you won't believe. Why won't men believe? Because it is impossible. It is impossible. Turn to me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. You remember in Isaiah chapter 6, when the prophet Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the seraphim hovering over the very throne of God, crying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Heaven and earth is filled with His glory." Heaven and earth is filled with His glory. But we don't see His glory. Why? Because of our unbelief. He has to reveal His glory to us. What's the evidence that He's revealed His glory? Woe is me. I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. Look what He says in chapter 12 and begin verse 37. But though He had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on Him. You know, they said, show us a miracle and we'll believe. Make it clear. Make it plain. Are you the Son of God? I've told you I am. But you won't believe. And then what did the Lord say to the rich man who died and went to hell and asked Abraham to send someone to warn his brothers of this place? Though one rise from the dead, they will not believe. They have Moses and the prophets. If they're not going to believe Moses and the prophets, they're not going to believe a miracle. They're not going to believe a resurrection. They're not going to believe any. Well, they saw the miracles. And at one point they actually saw the Lord cast demons out of a man that was possessed with demons. And they said, well, yeah, we can't deny that he didn't do it, but he did it by the power of Beelzebub. Men won't believe. No amount of evidence, no amount of proof. It's a work of divine revelation, and God uses His word to reveal that, doesn't He? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. And so we just keep preaching God's word in hopes that the Spirit of God will take the word of God and apply it to the hearts of God's people and give them faith. And then grow us in His grace and in the knowledge of Christ and increase our faith. The disciples said, Lord, increase our faith. Increase our faith. You're asking us to forgive a man seven times in a day? We're going to have faith for that. Faith in what? Faith in the man you're forgiving? No. Faith in believing that I've been forgiven. That my sin's been put away. That the Lord has succeeded in establishing for me a righteousness before God. And that my offense to Him is so much greater than anyone's offense towards me. They saw the miracles, but they would not believe. They wouldn't believe that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? There it is, Isaiah chapter 53. See, they saw the miracles. They were in the presence of God. They heard Him. They would not believe. Why? Because Isaiah had said, they're not going to believe the report. They're not going to believe the doctrine. They're not going to believe the gospel. They're not going to believe God. Therefore, they could not believe because that Isaiah said again, He
God hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted and should be healed. These things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. So Isaiah saw the Lord Jesus Christ seated upon that throne, and that last passage is the end of chapter 6 of Isaiah, where the Lord, well, it's quoted more times than any other Old Testament passage. I think six times in the New Testament. They will have eyes, but they will not see. Ears, but they will not see. And God has hardened their hearts. God's left them to themselves. So why do men not believe? Because they can't believe. They're unable to believe. They do not have the wherewithal to believe. They can't bring anything to the table to force the hand of God and to obligate God to save them. They've got nothing. Now, some will hear that and they'll be angry. They'll be angry because it strips them of any ability on their part, takes away free will, takes away good works, takes away man's faith. Others will become fatalistic and they'll say, well, you know, if I can't believe, I can't believe. You know, what am I going to do? You know what the child of God does? Oh, Lord, cause me to come unto thee. Give me faith. Turn me, Lord, and I shall be turned. I can't believe unless you enable me to believe. You see, the truth of your inability is what God uses to make us mercy beggars. Lord, I'm completely dependent upon you for all faith. And later on in this chapter, well, in chapter 6, the Lord said, I chose you 12, and one of you is the devil. And then, you remember when the Lord fed the 5,000, they all left, and the Lord said, will you not leave me also? What did Peter say? Lord, where are we going to go? Where should we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. We know and assure that thou art the Christ. You've revealed yourself to us. Why won't men believe? Well, the seeing eye and the hearing ear are both from the Lord. Men will not believe the same reason that a blind man can't see, the same reason that a deaf man can't hear, the same reason. You go down here to the nearest cemetery and start trying to have a conversation with somebody that's 6 feet under. See what kind of response you get. You're not going to get a response, are you? Why? Because they're dead. And that's how we come into this world. We come into this world spiritually dead. We can't hear, we can't believe, we can't do anything. Who has believed our report? The prophet said. To whom the arm of the Lord is revealed. They're the only ones that are going to believe. And if the Lord doesn't reveal himself, if he leaves us to ourselves, we will die unbelievers. Oh, Lord, give me faith. Make me to believe. Forgive me, Lord. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It is the ministry of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Lord said. It's expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. But when he comes, he's going to convict the world of sin because they've done all sorts of horrible things. No. He's going to convict the world of sin because they believe not on me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father, and of judgment because the prince of this world has been judged. That's the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The miracle of the new birth is that he causes us to believe. And then we spend the rest of our lives struggling with that old man of unbelief, don't we? Well, how are they going to have the arm of the Lord revealed to them? Just going to go off in the woods or go into your private study? And no, faith comes by hearing. You know that. How can they call upon him whom they've not believed? And how can they believe on him in whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they be sent? Now, it's not just talking about what I do. It's talking about what the Lord said, say not that there be yet 4 months to the harvest. For I say unto thee, it's white unto harvest right now. Pray to the Lord of the harvest that he'd send forth laborers unto the harvest. Every child of God has a privilege and opportunity. Now, every one of us, we have all missed opportunities. We have failed to take advantage of times when we could have been a witness for Christ. Does that mean that somebody we didn't witness to, or we were ashamed, or we were afraid of what somebody might think of us, is potentially going to be lost now because we didn't know? No. Every one of God's sheep is going to hear the gospel. But they're going to come by hearing the gospel from somebody that knows the gospel. They're going to come by hearing the gospel. So the report comes from the church. And your participation as a part of the church, your presence here when the gospel is being preached, the times when God does give you grace and boldness to speak a word of truth to a loved one or a family member or a co-worker or somebody, what a blessing. That's the only means by which they're going to hear. I hope the Lord will put on our hearts more of a burden for lost people and more of a sensitivity to the Spirit of God to be prepared. More boldness. The Lord said, I'll make you my witnesses. In Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the utmost parts of the world, I'm going to go with you. I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. All power has been given unto me in heaven and earth. You be my witnesses, baptizing them and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. The means by which the Lord communicates the gospel is his church. Why won't men believe? Because they're not hearing. Lord, give me ears to hear. And then, you remember what David said in Psalm 51 when David cried out for repentance and, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And then I will teach sinners thy ways. We can't speak to others until the Lord's been merciful to speak to us. Secondly, not only are we unable to believe, but we are unwilling to believe. Look at Isaiah 53 at verse 2. And he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. That's the Lord Jesus Christ growing up before the Father. And as a root out of dry ground, he hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Why won't men believe? Because they don't see the beauty of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why don't they see the beauty of his righteousness? Because they're too enamored with their own righteousness. It's like the man who comes into the wedding feast and he refuses the wedding garment. Everybody else got on the same white robe. And he walks in, well, he's dressed to the hilt, and he said, no, thank you. I'll just wear what I've got. See, men are so caught up in their own. It's self-righteousness that keeps men from coming to Christ. Let me show you that. Turn with me to John chapter 3. Look at verse 19. And this is the condemnation. Now, when God says this is the condemnation, God said this is what's going to condemn the world. This is the result of those who will not believe, who cannot believe. Light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Because their deeds were evil. They wouldn't come to Christ because they were too caught up in their own deeds. Look at verse 20. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Now that word reproved means to be exposed. The men won't come to Christ because what they're hoping in for their righteousness, God says, is evil. You remember when the Lord said, when he separates the sheep from the goats, and the Lord will say to the goats, depart from me, for I never knew you. Oh, wait a minute, Lord. Wait. We cast out demons in your name. We've done many wonderful works in your name. And the Lord says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. You wouldn't come to me because you were trusting in your own righteousness for the hope of your salvation. You're unwilling to trust my righteousness because you thought you had enough of your own. But he that doeth truth. What is it to do truth? It's to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Cometh to the light, and that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. Lord, the only deed I have is faith, and that was wrought in God. You gave it to me. I didn't come up with it. I didn't make a decision. I don't have a work to present. Turn with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Lord willing, we're going to begin 2 Thessalonians Sunday. Verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth. They didn't believe the gospel. They didn't love Christ. They weren't putting their hope in him for their righteousness. No, they were deceived in thinking that their unrighteousness was righteousness. They received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God sent them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. What was the lie? The lie was that their decision and that their works were their acceptance before God. And God let them believe it. He let them to believe it. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. They pleasured themselves in thinking that their good deeds were their righteousness before God. Who hath believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Why won't men believe? They won't believe because they can't believe. Without the revelation of the Spirit of God, you can't believe. And unless the Lord reveals to you your unrighteousness, you won't be looking to Christ for righteousness. You'll be deceived. Taking pleasure in your own righteousness. Light's come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light. Because when the light shines, it reveals their righteousness for what it is. What's God say it is? Filthy rags. Filthy rags. All right. This is the condemnation. Light's come into the world. Men love darkness rather than light. Also, the reason men won't believe. Turn back with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. This is a constant problem for all of us. The reason why we often don't believe God as we ought. John chapter 12, verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also, many believed on him. Now, did they believe to the saving of their souls? Or did they say, did they show an interest and some confession that, yes, that's the Christ? Now, read on. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue, for they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. That's why men won't believe. Men won't believe because they know, if I confess him, it's going to put me at odds with everybody. It's going to put me at odds with my family. It's going to put me at odds with my neighbors. It's going to put me at odds with everybody in this world. This gospel is contrary to everything in this world. And men love the praise of men more than the praise of God. And so they will not confess him. These who said they believed didn't really believe. Why? Because they didn't want to be put out of the synagogue. They wanted to get along with men. Then the Lord said, I did not come to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. To divide a son against his father, a daughter against his mother. This matter of, and the Lord went on to say that that our enemies will be of our own household. That's the result of the gospel. They would not believe because they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Thirdly, go back with me to Isaiah 53, verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Men will not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ because they despise him. They despise him. They hate him. Now, they'll love a counterfeit Jesus. And Satan's good at that. That's his profession. He's a counterfeiter. And men will create a little Jesus that they can love. The Christ of Scripture, the one who bore in his body all the sins of all of God's people and suffered the full wrath of God's judgment in order to put away those sins once and for all, they won't come to him. He's despised. What did the Lord say in Psalm 2? Why do the heathen rage? Why do the people imagine a vain thing? Why do they have such an empty view of Christ? A God, a Jesus that loves everybody, a Jesus who died for everybody, a Jesus who's doing his best to save everybody, a Jesus who's more concerned about fixing up your life than he is in saving your soul. That's where most religion today is, isn't it? That's a counterfeit Jesus. That's men imagining a vain thing. They put their little Jesus on the cross and then they feel sorry for him, don't they? Kind of like when the Lord was going to the cross and those women were weeping and the Lord stopped while he was carrying that cross and said to them, "Weep not for me. Don't feel sorry for me. You got a Jesus you're feeling sorry for. That's not the right Jesus. That's another Jesus." He said, "Weep for yourself and for your children. Feel sorry for yourself. Don't feel sorry for me. I'm God. I don't need your pity. I'm here to do a job. I'm here to save my people. And I'm going to succeed in what the Father sent me to do." Feel sorry for yourself. John chapter 15. Verse 17. "These things I commanded you, that you love one another." You know what strengthens the bonds of love between believers? Is the persecution that they receive in the world. I mean, it really does. You stand up for Christ, you're going to find yourself to be the odd man out. If you just living to earn the praise of men and to be get along with everybody and be everybody's buddy, it's going to be reflected in you know, your relationship with believers is going to be just like your relationship with unbelievers. But when you get cut off from this world and you realize the only people I've got anything in common with are God's people, oh, the strengthening of that grace and that bond that you will have with believers. And you'll do everything to protect it. And so the Lord starts out by saying, love one another. "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they also will persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me." They hate me. They hate me. They despise me. The God who I am, the sovereign, successful Savior of sinners, the one who is to be bowed to and worshiped, they hate. Oh, they'll make a little Jesus, put him on a crucifix, wear him around their neck. They'll put him in his pocket, you know, just kind of pull him out when they need him as a little rabbit's foot, rub him a little bit and get some good luck out of their little Jesus. But that's not the Jesus who exists. That's a figment of men's imagination. The one who exists, the Lord says they hate. They hate. And they don't know it. They don't know they hate him. I had a family member yesterday text me a video. He was so proud of this video he texted me. And he thought I was going to be impressed. It was a religious skit that was done in a church. And it was about Jesus. And I watched about 3 minutes of it. It was the most blasphemous thing that I'd ever seen in all my life. I mean, it was blasphemous. But he thought it was wonderful. he said, "You got to see this. It's great." Yeah, they don't know they hate Jesus. And what he sent me was absolutely hatred for my God. Why won't men come to Christ? Number one, they're unable. Number two, they're unwilling. And number three, they hate the God of Scripture. They hate him. You don't come to somebody you hate. You already substituted him with somebody else. And they're going to hate you too. What does our text say? Go back with me. Look at this. He was wounded for our transgressions. Verse 5. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Done. Past tense. Finished. Completed work. We are healed. Now, I want to show you one verse in closing. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We've looked at this before, but this is so... I hope I can speak clearly on this subject. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, this goes along with hating the Lord Jesus Christ. And there was a time when I hated him. I hated him. I did it in ignorance. I thought I loved him. I'd have been sending out those videos just like the one I got yesterday. I was doing all the religious stuff, establishing my own right, but I hated God. Hated God. Why? Because I called the Lord Jesus Christ accursed. I called him anathema. So you actually called Jesus cursed? Yeah. Yeah, let me show you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. Wherefore I give you to understand. Oh my God, give us understanding of this. That no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. Anathema. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, the word anathema, the word accursed, is a thing devoted to God without hope of redemption. That's what accursed means. A thing that's been devoted to God without any hope of being redeemed. So that when something is accursed, a person or a thing, it is doomed to eternal destruction. To suggest that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, gave his life for anybody that doesn't go to heaven is to say that he made an offering to God without redemption. That he spilt his blood in vain. Now, if you're going to say that God loves everybody and Christ died for everybody, then you must conclude that in the end, everybody's going to heaven. So, you know, let's just eat, drink, and be merry. You know, it universalism. But if you're going to say that God loves everybody and Christ died for everybody, but not everybody he died for are going to heaven, then you are calling Jesus Christ accursed. You're saying that he made an offer to God without redemption. And no man can call Jesus accursed who's of the Holy Spirit. And no one can call him Lord, not with understanding. Lord. Lord over the living and Lord over the dead. Absolutely sovereign. What did we say in religion? Oh, let's make Jesus Lord of our lives. That's blasphemy. That's blasphemy. I don't care what your attitude about Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is right now. He is your Lord. He is your Lord. He reigns sovereign over your life, and He will do with you whatsoever He wills. And the natural man says, I'm not going to have that. We'll not have this God reign over us. And all you're doing is giving testimony of your hatred for the Son of God. All you're doing is testifying to why it is that you will not believe God's report. Who hath believed our report? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? To them whom God has made willing. To them who God has made able. And to them who love the truth. They love Christ. They love having a Redeemer who actually redeems, who actually accomplishes the redemption of His people all by Himself. They love it. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Your Word, and we pray that Your Holy Spirit would speak truth to our hearts and cause us, Lord, to be convicted over our unbelief. And we pray, Lord, that You would increase our faith and cause us to look to Christ for all our salvation. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. 127. Let's stand together.
Hallelujah, what a Savior.